Okay, great. Welcome everyone to the Animal Control Advisory Board meeting, Public Safety Complex. First item on our agenda is call to order roll call. All names, Tara Sporco, Kyle Schuchetti, here, Robert Couch,
right.
Kara Angrall, Jen Ryland.
Here.
And then 2B board members, Sandra Hungate.
Here.
And you will be seated at the next board meeting. Is that correct? On the next meeting?
Meeting.
Our next one? Yes.
Before then.
Before then.
Yeah,
okay.
Before
then. Well, we have an agenda. If everybody had a chance to take a look at. Well, we need a vote to adopt it, but we've got one. We also have approval of minutes. Don't really have minutes. We just have a recording, right? Do we have to adopt the minutes and recording?
I think you do, and I think the recording speaks for itself because it's a live recording of what you all talk about. So I'm not sure that you'd want to have any corrections, because it's an audio.
It's an audio, yeah, so that's your like usual. So we'll I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes, audio recording.
I move that we accept it.
Okay, I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I second.
Second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right.
Aye.
Opposed? Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. All right. First on our agenda item is the second agenda item is reports, animal protection and control quarterly report.
Yeah, I'm hoping that everybody's had an opportunity to review the report. Just looking briefly at it, the trends are kind of being where they normally are. There's nothing that's jumping out of the jumping out as a unusual type trend. The only thing that in looking at the report in March, if you were looking at the line for vicious are calls that citizens will call and report that a dog is behaving in a vicious type manner, which is a subjective term to a lot of people. If you look at the vicious line and the running at large pets, both of those are kind of huge spikes. So I would attribute that directly to, you know, more dogs running at large in the month of March. Everything else seems to be kind of status quo. With the exception of licensing is down a little bit, but I anticipate that to change dramatically once we do get into the licensing program and we're able to put more focus on the goals that we've been currently doing. The intake at the shelter has been fairly consistent. I'm looking at the other line, and I got to assume if I ask Jen if those are probably 10 items, they're probably rabbits.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That would be my guess. So we had 10 rabbits that were picked up. Everything else in the dogs and cats area, business wise, looks like it's coming down in March, but you know, January and February were pretty consistent. I'm not seeing anything that looks completely unusual other than the violations. We are now fully staffed, so we have more officers out in the field, which in turn means more citizen contacts, which in turn means more violations are addressed, which in turn means more citations issued. So that is going to be a trend going that way in the future. And that's something that we'll also have a discussion tonight on with the appeals, but that's later. So unless anyone has any specific questions regarding this, I don't see anything that is of concern to us, but I'm happy to answer any questions if anybody has any.
I just had a question to just understand, and you already mentioned at large, and I guess it was vicious, both with huge spikes. Is there like a natural overlap between at large, bites, and vicious?
There's an overlap.
It's like a repetitive.
Yeah, there's an overlap between a lot of the stuff. So somebody may call up and say, my neighbor's dog is running at large. We'll look at the history and go, okay, well, the dog's also not running licensed. So that would be another subcategory that.
Okay.
The call was written up for. So somebody would say that the dog is acting vicious and it's running large. And so we would naturally put those two as what was reported. And then we would see that, you know, there's obviously no licensing there. So that would be tacked onto it as well. So a lot of them do kind of come in pairs. They they just, you know, you get one, you get them both.
I'd like to just note that you'll notice there's that non-service call, which is new. I don't believe you've seen that on a report before.
Yeah.
And that is as a result of something that I wanted to start capturing was not just all the dispatches and calls for service that our animal control officers respond to as a case, but calls for service that we get that may not turn into a case. So they're valid tracking the time that our dispatcher spends on the phone, talking, doing education, responding to non-jurisdictional calls. They all have an impact on her workload, and I wanted to capture that, and we've been tracking that for probably the last 6 months or so.
An example of what those calls are?
It could actually be a call that is for the city of Washougal or the city of Battleground. It could be a call that we already have a case on and somebody wants to additionally complain about the same thing. It could be a call for delivery of pizza. I don't know. It's just a call that, you know, it could be that it's a barking dog complaint that we are doing the first stage of education before we create a call. So those are some examples.
So someone could be just calling in for information here.
Correct.
Refer them to.
Correct. Right. Correct.
And just, you know, kind of going off of that, I kind of did a quick analysis on it. And last year we did a little over 10,000 calls. At the current pace that we're going right now, that would put us about 11,100 calls for the year. So just taking the first quarter into account, and I know that we're going to have a busy summer and we're capturing more phone calls as they're coming in, just based on what we're trying to get a true accurate account. I wouldn't be very surprised at all if we get close to 12,000 calls for the year.
A follow-up question related to that. Does your system have the capability of keeping track of how many people accessed your informational links, for example?
I don't think so.
Okay.
That's an IT
okay.
thing, and they can track it.
Because I spent some time looking at the website, and I'm really impressed with how much it's changed. And I really thought you guys did a wonderful job, whether it was you two or one of you or somebody else you had to. I saw that it became very easy to navigate. You go down a list, you click on the thing. I did have one suggestion, which I can add later, unless you want it now. That was under the educate the owner button. I thought under animal noise, I thought maybe you could add a help link because you already have a ASPCA link of information. You could also link it under that so they have something else to do rather than say, okay, now what? There's one more thing to look at, and then they see that in the link you provided, which I thought was very good. And it gives them one step further to handle on their own. So the under the noise, animal noise link that says educate the owner, and you could just switch that link also in that area too. I think that would be good.
One other thing that I just thought of, I know that a lot of them get turned into calls, but emails that do come into the general that are not necessarily written up or turned into cases, are we capturing those as well?
So that would be anything that comes into the animal control general email box.
Yeah.
And I would have to check with Sarah to see how she is entering those.
I don't think they are. If it's a dispatch, yes, obviously, but if it's not a dispatch, I don't think so.
Using the dispatch model in the system to do those non-service calls. So actually inquiries for service, that's probably needs to be a higher number.
Most of those emails are for licensing anyways. They're mostly for me, licensing.
One more question too. I was just curious with the numbers looking quite large to me, but of course I know nothing, but in the hearings were only 5. So is that, do most people just, even though they tell you to pound sand, they mostly just pay their tickets and they don't go to the trouble of a hearing?
So for the month,
intriguingly small number.
The month of January and February are kind of unusual. February, our hearings got canceled. I ended up being sick. Jackie was sick, and it was a very last minute thing that we had to actually cancel those. So all of those rolled over to the March.
Okay.
So that's where we would have had, I think, 3 or 4 in February, and then one or two in March. So, but as we're getting more contact and citations, we are going to get more appeals. We're getting appeals, you know, almost on a daily basis now that people are reaching out to us.
That's what I wondered. It's usually that small and kind of good.
That's kind of been the way. Yeah, that's kind of the way that it's been going. I do have last quarter, the last year, we had a total of 5 hearings for the last quarter. We had 3 in October, 1 in November, and 1 in December. So that was the trend for it. And obviously, summer months, you know, and it seems to be looking at your horse when things happen. So we would have probably more during those opportunity for time periods.
All right. Any other questions? Hearing? Great. Thank you, Russ.
Mm-hmm.
Next is special or discuss appeal process.
Okay. So that kind of dovetails off of Kat's question there about the hearings. So what Donna and I have been discussing and we're going to try to propose is that we utilize the advisory board a little bit more frequently for the some of our hearings. And in reading the language that is written in the bylaws, it looks like we can have a subcommittee of the advisory board to act as a tribunal counsel and hear some of these appeals. We have obviously, you know, budgetary concerns, so we're trying not to have a lot of these hearings go to a hearing examiner because there's fees that get charged for those, and they're 3 times the cost of whatever the citation is. So if a citation for running at large is $100, by the time we go and we have the appeal hearing done, it's a very expensive process. So the idea
fees if it was a loss of an appeal.
Yeah. So the thought process would be if there was a way to get some members that were interested in being on that subcommittee and doing it on a monthly basis, because obviously quarterly is too much to do on a hearing. So especially if a parking hearing is coming up, once the citation is written for a person that has a parking violation, that stops the process. They don't get any of the citations, any of the enforcement until it actually goes to the hearing and a judgment is made at that point. So we don't want to stretch out a potentially, you know, bad situation any longer than necessary. So I did print out copies if anybody would like a copy of the City of Vancouver as well as the county's appeals process. And the only thing that would, you know, I think maybe the potential issue is the time frames and how fast we need to return some of the information to us and then to Violet.
Yes, some committee of 3. Maybe is one of the 3 can't participate. And this is a idea that Russ and I have. I haven't fully vetted it with the PA's office. However, this is the direction that we would like to go in, and we will explore this and probably talk in greater detail with the subcommittee, however this advisory board decides to choose who is on the subcommittee.
So it is, you know, specified that the advisory board can act as a tribunal counsel. Just want to see what the buy-in is, it feasible enough for us to do, and if there's a way that we could put something together that if it's a monthly type process, we do have 4 quarterly meetings anyway. So it would be on that same date so that it just, you know, we don't have 2 meetings in the 1 month, 1 for a hearing and 1 for an, you know, advisory board. So it would land on the same dates.
No, we've never done this before.
Would that be down here too?
Not necessarily.
Or in Vancouver.
We haven't decided. Because of the nature of having to make sure that these are recorded properly, I may want them to be held in the 6th floor of the PSC building, maybe. We haven't worked out those details. The purpose is to try and see if this is something the advisory board wants to do, establish that subcommittee, have those folks committed to doing it, and then we will move forward with the details as needed. And you know, there's still the possibility that the PA may say, yeah, I don't like this idea.
Yeah. And if we ended up with a night that there were 4, 5, maybe even 6 hearings, that does stretch it out into the evening. I don't know what our time frames would you'd want to put that on there. And if we start these a little bit earlier, I don't, and it's all based on availability of those that would choose to be on the committee too. So there's obviously some logistical things that we still need to kick around, but wanted to at least put this out there and we'll see what the advisory board and thought about it. So
good idea. And we'll have on the area of expertise.
Right.
So
I hear the first volunteer.
You can play to help.
If anybody hasn't gone to a hearing or seen one, they are on Clark Vancouver TV. And if you can't get access to it, we do have links that I think Jackie sent us to each one of the hearings after it's over, so that you can go back and kind of see what's going on and what took place. There, some of them are fairly interesting, some of them are kind of benign, but there are lessons that can be taken from them, for sure.
So I see at least 3 Baldwin Coopers without enough information to go to the PMA and school.
So, and we're obviously going to have some training. And, you know, there's just some training that we need to happen in terms of how you would feel about making a decision on these, because these decisions are not rooted in your emotion, they're rooted in the black and white letters of the code.
Thank you. Sounds like a great idea. To further explore.
So I think we would probably want to put this on additional the next agenda item as a follow-up. And in the meantime, we'll see if we can establish a subcommittee and then meet with the subcommittee sometime between now and the next quarterly meeting. And I just advise we have our applicant, first applicant for the board, and those that process is not recorded for the record. So we would have to stop the recording, either end this meeting now and continue everything else at a different time, or agree to continue it after the interview. So I'll leave that up to you.
We have 1 at 6:45, 1 at 7:05.
Yes.
Then we have a gap. So maybe we can pick up after the gap.
Let's do that.
And are Sandra and I not allowed to participate since we're not officially seated in the web room, sir?
So my recommendation would be that you can participate.